If you're visiting today, welcome. Welcome to New Life. Praying that God would speak to you and touch your life in a fresh way. I want to tell you something that happened a couple of weeks ago. A couple of weeks ago, I was going to Morrison's to do my shopping on Saturday. As I went through the door of Morrison's in Camden, the store manager was there and he engaged me. I was quite surprised. He engaged me in conversation. Store manager was right at the front of the store and he asked me an unexpected question. He said this to me. He said, "Excuse me for asking, but aren't you someone famous?" My heart sank as I thought, who in the world does he think I am? So I asked him. It was a very dangerous question to ask. I said, "So who do you think I am?" I thought he's going to start now suggesting some ancient B-rated celebrities. You know, he said, "Aren't you the guy off the telly?" At that point, I realised the conversation could turn nasty as he started suggesting old bald guys off the telly. Got to admit, I was a bit tempted to suggest Bruce Willis. What do you reckon? Bruce Willis? What do you reckon? Show of hands, what do you reckon? Oh, you're so kind. You're so kind. I got to admit, though, I wasn't famous. I wasn't the guy off the telly. But he wouldn't let the subject drop. He thought I was being a bit coy. He went to, he said, "Me and the other managers, we've been noticing you around the store over the past few weeks. We've been talking about you and we think that you're someone famous." This point, I thought, this is going nowhere. So I tried to turn the conversation into an evangelistic opportunity. I said, no, actually, I'm a church minister. I tried to hope to turn the conversation around, but he was having none of it. And he left me thinking I was definitely someone off the telly, but not willing to own up. But even worse than that, also in Morrison's, a little bit is about Morrison's in Camden, but also in Morrison's in Camden, just a few weeks before, I was lining up at the checkout. And there was a lady on the checkout. And as I was lining up, she in a very loud voice, said to me, "Oi, you're that guy off the telly." I started to deny it, but she was having none of it. Her voice got louder and I grew redder and more embarrassed. "You're famous." There then followed a debate as to which one of the Mitchell brothers in EastEnders I was. Was I Grant Mitchell? Or was I Phil Mitchell? Now, listen, I cannot see the similarities. I don't know why I was grouped with the Mitchell brothers at all. I've been looking at their pictures for some time and I really can't work it out. It took a lot of persuading for me to convince her I wasn't Grant Mitchell, I wasn't Phil Mitchell. Do you know what? Actually, to be honest, though, it's a bit annoying being mistaken for someone else. It was a bit of an anticlimax, the person who thinks that you're someone famous, to actually discover you're just an ordinary person. I'm no one special, I'm just me. And they look, frankly, quite disappointed. Disappointed that it's just me. But the good news today is that even though I'm not someone famous, God knows me perfectly. God knows me exactly. God knows accurately who I am. And he knows my name and gets my name right every single time. We're going to look at this morning at a verse in the book of Genesis where God speaks to a man called Abram. And God speaks to him and calls him by name. It's a personal message from God, from his creator, just to Abraham. And here is our verse this morning. It's in Genesis 15 and verse 1. God says this to Abraham. "Do not be afraid, Abraham." Genesis 15 verse 1. "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward." God speaks to this man called Abraham. Later, of course, he changes his name to Abraham. But at this point, he's called Abraham. God spoke right in his current situation. God knew his name. God spoke clearly, God spoke powerfully, God spoke particularly, God personally spoke to him. And this morning I want to encourage you, because I believe today God is still speaking personally, powerfully, and particularly to us as individuals, right into your current situation. God's not confused who you are. God doesn't think you're someone else. God knows exactly who you are, exactly your name. And when God speaks, it's a word right into your life, right into your situation. Just as God wanted to speak personally to Abraham, God today wants to speak specially and particularly to you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are the God of the whole earth. And that of the 7 billion people that are on this planet today, you individually know each one of us sat here today. And God, it's so reassuring to know we can just be ourselves, that we can just be who you've made us. And we can say, here we are, God, would you speak into our lives? We can say, here we are, God. We may not be something famous, but we're someone who you have made for your pleasure and for your purpose. And so we're asking today, please, God of the heaven, would you speak specifically? Would you speak personally? Would you speak straight into the heart of every single person here? Amen. Years ago, I was new to London. And when I arrived here, joined the church. And after a meeting similar to this, I got engaged in conversation with a woman that was in the church. And she shared some of the struggles that she was going through at that time. I was trying to be helpful, and so I shared some things I thought would be encouraging, some things I thought would be helpful things to say. I shared a Bible verse, I shared a few things I thought would be a blessing. It was no big deal, just an ordinary kind of conversation, and subsequently I forgot the conversation. She moved out of London, I forgot about her, and I forgot about the conversation. But then many years later, I was at a Christian training course in Northampton. I bumped into her. She got married. She introduced me to her husband. We talked for a few moments, the three of us. And then she said this to me. She said, 15 years ago, you really offended me. I was really surprised at what she said. She said, you really upset me by the things you said. I didn't forget it, and I'm offended at you. And I was really shocked. I was really shocked. I apologize. Oh, what could you do? I mean, I totally apologize. I said, look, I'm really, really sorry. Totally, totally sorry for upsetting you and being unhelpful. You know, afterwards, I thought about the conversation. Couldn't remember it very well. But I remember trying to be helpful. I remember actually trying to say something that would be useful. I was trying to be a blessing. And yet what came across was something that obviously she perceived as being insensitive and being uncaring. And it does just show how really we are imperfect people. It just shows even when you try and be nice, even when we try our best, sometimes we fail. Even when we try and say the right thing, sometimes it's just not heard right. Sometimes it's just not perceived right. But the difference is when God himself speaks into our lives. When it's God's words, when it's what God's saying, it's very different. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we shouldn't try and encourage each other. We shouldn't try and say good things to you. Of course not. But the quality of what I may say to you today, I pray it would be helpful. But it's very different from when God himself says something into your heart and your life. The whole quality of it. And that's because God's words are flawless. They're perfect. And they're exactly what you need to hear right now. But more than that, God's words carry life. So when God speaks into your heart, it's not just encouraging. It's not just, oh, good, it's great to know that. Actually, God's words come with power and with life to change you. And that's very different. I pray I could be helpful. Pray we could be helpful with each other. But when God himself speaks, it's very, very different. And so we see these words that God spoke to Abraham. If there's someone here today who's fearful, I could say to you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It may be helpful, and I pray it would. But if God speaks those words into your heart, if God says to you, don't be afraid, it's very different because it carries power, it carries life, it carries something that will change you from the inside out. When God speaks those words into your life, don't be afraid, Philippa. Don't be afraid, John. Don't be afraid, Raywin. When God speaks personally, specifically into your life, it's very, very different. The thing that's about the Bible I want to encourage you today is this book, the Bible, is absolutely amazing. It's a miracle book because somehow, so I'm going to walk over here, go get my Bible. Somehow, God has spoken to the 40 people who wrote down this book, to the 66 chapters, and somehow in here, this book is a living book because it's actually God's words. It's not what people thought about God, people's opinions about him. This book actually claims to be the words of God himself. And so there's something very significant and powerful about the words in this book, which is why we're looking at this verse today. We're not just looking at some great ideas that I might have. We're looking at some words in this book. I kind of want to really encourage you to start today to read your Bible. want to really encourage you. It seems so hard sometimes. We're so tired, or there's not enough time, or we just don't feel like it, or whatever. So many things seem to stop us reading this book. And yet this book is something that God has given to us that we could hear his voice, that we could hear him speak. Just as Abraham heard God speak right into his heart, personally, specifically, right into his situation, through this book, God will speak straight into your heart and life. So as you read it, expect God to speak. Look for God to speak. Listen to his voice. As you're reading through, as soon as you come to a word or a verse or a phrase or a story that just stops you, hold on. Stop a minute. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this book? So one of the best ways I've found of hearing God's voice is as I read it, however much it is. Sometimes I read a verse, sometimes I read a whole book, however much you read. Just as you read, be open. God, what are you saying to me? As soon as something in that verse just grabs your attention, stop. Stop at that point and say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me through this? Allow God's words to come fresh into your heart and to your life. God spoke directly to Abraham, and I believe God wants to speak directly to us today. So what did God say to Abraham? Well, God sees Abraham. God sees his situation. God sees his heart. In Genesis 15, God comes to Abraham. God sees Abraham. Actually, Abraham's asleep. It's nighttime. But Abraham's one of these people who lying on his bed, but he's worried. Lying on his bed, but he's afraid. He's lying on his bed, but he's on this side. Then he's on his back. I don't know if you've ever done this. You lie on your back. A bit uncanny. You lie on your side. You lie on your front. You're tossing and turning. He's not sleeping. Why is he not sleeping? God sees in his heart, and God sees there's fear in his heart. And so God comes to him and says, Genesis 15 verse 1, do not be afraid, Abraham. That's not just some advice from God. That is the words of God with the power to actually change his life. You see, what had Abraham to be afraid of? Well, if we read in Genesis 14, the chapter before, Abraham had just won a great victory. His nephew Lot had been captured, and Abraham had gone, taken his men, a party of about 300, and fought a battle, an amazing battle against five kings. He defeated the kings, rescued his nephew Lot, and he'd come back, and that night you should have thought he'd be victorious. He'd be really thinking, fantastic, look what I've done with God's help. Actually, he was afraid. He was be afraid that those kings would come back and take revenge on him. He was worried. God looked into his heart. God sees exactly what's in his heart. You know, the amazing thing this morning is God looks at your heart right now and God sees everything that's in there. That's a great relief and a great challenge. It's a great relief to know we cannot hide. I cannot hide from God. And so when God speaks, he speaks particularly, specifically, exactly to what is in your heart, which is a wonderful thing. We cannot pretend. Abraham couldn't pretend. And so God says to him, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. Do you notice that God didn't wait for Abraham to come to him? God wasn't there saying, well, Abraham's afraid. Hope he can get up and come and pray and come and seek me and come and find me. And then I'll do something. God came in his mercy. God came in his kindness to Abraham as he was tossing and turning on his bed in his fear and his worry and his anxiety. God came to him. Do you see the amazing kindness of God? That God is so wanting to work in our lives, so kind to us, so gracious to us, that when I'm in a pickle, God will come to me. And God will speak and God will reach out and God will, as he did here with Abraham. See, it's tempting to think, well, it's okay for Abraham. Abraham was someone famous. Back to famous people, yeah? Abraham was someone famous. And sure, he was famous. He was the founder of the Jewish nation, the father of all who trusted God. He's the root of all believers, Old Testament and New Testament. In fact, Christians are called children of Abraham. His life's recorded in the Bible for us. And so we can see what was happening. Here in Genesis 15, it's the beginning of his life. But also we can see what happened. It's recorded in Genesis, what happened throughout his life. And we can see how he did become famous and how he did achieve a lot in his life. But from Abraham's viewpoint in Genesis 15, he didn't know that it was all in his future. He didn't know what was going to happen. At this point in Genesis 15, God had sent Abraham into Canaan. He'd been in there for 10 years. God had sent him, promised, going to this country of Canaan, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to prosper you, I'm going to give you a home, I'll give you a family. And he'd been there 10 years, and so far he was disappointed. So far he'd been promised a place to settle down, but it had not materialized. He'd been promised a son, but now he was old, very old, and there was no sign of a baby. You see, Abraham was struggling just like we struggle. Sometimes we look at characters in the Bible, think it's all right for them. It's all right for King David. It's all right for Abraham. They're some special people. They're some amazing people. Abraham was just an ordinary person who was struggling. He was struggling. We know the end of his story. We don't sat here today. You don't know the end of your story. You're here today, 2017. You don't know what next year holds or the year after. God knows the end of your story. God knows the things he's got for you in the future. Fantastic. We don't know those things. So we're in the same position that Abraham was struggling, and we struggle. I've got to be honest. Or we can say it's okay for Abraham. He was someone special. And it's true. Abraham was someone special. In James 2 verse 23, he's called a friend of God. Amazing. But Abraham was far from perfect. So when God came to Abraham, Abraham was a nobody. Abraham is found in Joshua 24 verse 2. Abraham actually is labeled, this guy is was actually an idolater. He wasn't seeking God. He was actually worshiping idols. He didn't start very good. And then he married his sister. Never a good idea marrying your sister. He married his sister. And then when things got tough and he went to Egypt and the Pharaoh fancied his sister, he says, oh, I'm not married to her at all, actually. Pretended not to be married to his sister so that his sister could go into Pharaoh's harem. And then he had a baby by his slave girl because he didn't trust that God would give him a baby by his wife. See, Abraham was no perfect person, not at all. In fact, Abraham was a person just like you and just like me. And it's a great encouragement to us, because if God spoke to Abraham, God wants to speak to you. Today, fresh into your life, God's word comes fresh to you. We all have our fears. If we're honest with each other this morning, there are things that you're afraid of. Part of our human condition, part of our fallen human condition, is there are things that we are afraid of in our lives. They may not be the things that Abraham was afraid of, maybe different things. But just like Abraham, it's not always obvious to other people what it is we're afraid of. You know, the Bible contains this. It is said that the Bible contains the phrase, "Do not be afraid," 365 times, once for every day of the year. Now, I've never actually gone and counted that up, but as I've looked through the Bible, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid, because again and again and again and again. It's something I think God knows we need to hear, because fear is something which can come in all our hearts. It may be the fear of losing a job, maybe the fear of not getting a job, maybe the fear of failing, maybe a fear of having no money. Maybe a fear of a friendship not working out. Fear of what other people think of us. Fear of sickness. Fear of death. There's so many different things that we can be afraid of. And whatever your fears, I believe God is saying the same thing to me and to you as he was saying to Abraham back then. He's saying, do not be afraid. But God goes on to give him two reasons as to why not to be afraid. Firstly, he says this in Genesis 15, verse 1. He says, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. Gives him a very specific reason as to why not to be afraid. God promises to protect. See, part of fear, one aspect of fear is of some punishment or some attack or something coming that we can't control that will harm us. That's one aspect of fear. And here for Abraham, he was afraid of those five kings coming and taking revenge on him. And so God said, don't be afraid, because I am your shield. Now, my dad died a couple of years ago, but my dad was an inventor. He invented plastics. He worked in the 1960s. And he invented different, that was his job, inventing plastics. And he invented one particular plastics that was used, that Ferrari used in their racing cars. So the Ferrari racing car engine, I remember going to see my dad, I was only about 8 years old, going to see the place where he worked and seeing these engine blocks. And the problem with the Ferrari had with their engines is that under high pressure, as they're racing around the track, the oil in the engine was under high pressure and the metal in the engine blocks got tiny little holes in it. And so the oil was being pushed through the pressure through those little holes. And so my dad invented a plastic that would seal those holes and stop the oil going into the engine. And so that's what he did. That's one of the things he did. He also invented a plastic that was used to coat expensive sculptures so they wouldn't get damaged. So Henry Moore statues, some of the Henry Moore statues were coated with my dad's plastic he made. My dad invented lots of plastics, but one thing he made for me, which for me was far more significant than whatever else he invented, was he made me a shield. When I was 8 years old, he made me a plastic shield. And this plastic shield was brilliant because it was out of the toughest plastic. It was not like the sort you buy in a shop that sort of bend a bit. This was a really serious plastic. You could do nothing. You could stand on it. You could jump at it. You could do anything. You could hit it as hard as you like. This shield was impenetrable, and nothing you could do was damage this shield. It was the best. As I was an 8-year-old boy, it was the best shield ever. And you see, God promises to be for us the best shield we could ever hope for. Strong, large enough that we could hide behind. See, Abraham faced some very real enemies. You could imagine him there at camp at night, thinking about, not many miles away, there are 5 angry, defeated kings. And when they dust themselves off, they're going to get on their camels and they're going to come and get me. You can imagine. And God says to him, I am your shield. Now, if God had said to him, I'm going to give you a shield, that would have been fantastic. Well, anything from God must be good. But you see what God said to him? God actually said, I am your shield. In other words, God was saying, I'm going to stand in between you and your enemies. Wow, what an amazing promise. What an amazing promise that God made to Abraham. And because it's in the scripture, because it's in the Bible, that promise is for you and for me today. That God himself says, do not be afraid, because he will stand between you and your enemies. So when they try and harm you, when they try and bring blows against you, God himself will take those blows. God himself will shield and protect your life. What a promise. No wonder he could say to Abraham, do not be afraid. He didn't just say to Abraham, cheer up, it's not so bad. He said, don't be afraid, because I myself am going to protect you. Now this shield is not just for Abraham. See, Isaiah had confidence in this same shield. Isaiah 54:17, lovely verse of the Bible. Isaiah saw this shield, he understood it. He said, no weapon that is formed against you will succeed. Whatever the enemy, whether it's a physical enemy, whether it's a spiritual, whatever the enemy tries to come against you with, Isaiah says, it will not succeed. Because Isaiah saw, just as Abraham saw, that God himself was going to be a shield to protect him. Then the Apostle Paul has good confidence in this same shield. In 2 Timothy 4:18, one of my favorite verses, my favorite verse in the Bible. I love this verse. Paul says this, the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack. Paul had such confidence in this shield. Paul saw the shield that Isaiah saw, that Abraham saw. Paul saw that God himself, the reason why Paul could say that is that he had confidence that God himself was going to shield him. God himself, that should an enemy come and try and attack Paul, God himself would stand in front. You've seen those movies where someone's there and an assailant comes with a gun or some weapon against them to try and harm the person, and someone else just steps in front, takes the bullet, takes whatever it is, and they themselves take what we should have gone for the person behind. They intercept it. That's what God is saying to us, is that he will intercept. He himself will shield our lives. Wow. What an amazing thing. See, we can have absolute confidence this morning that God's going to protect us. Just as I have confidence in my dad's shield as an 8-year-old little boy, we can trust totally in our Heavenly Father's shield that he is going to protect us, watch over us, guard us, keep us, that no weapon formed against us shall succeed. Because he is going to be there to protect us. He will take the blows, he will cover our lives. We can't do better than that. That's the blows of people, the blows of circumstances, the blows of the devil. God will protect you. Secondly, God promises Abraham something else. God promises in Genesis 15, verse 1, he says this, don't be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. See, in the chapter 4 in Genesis 15, Abraham had been pursuing these kings. He'd rescued Lot, his nephew. He got back the people that had been stolen. And then all the plunder of the battle, Abraham had said, no, I don't want any of that reward. I don't want it. He didn't want earthly reward. He said, no, you can keep it. I don't want it. It's enough to have my nephew back. And here, God comes and says, I myself, God is promising to be Abraham's reward. Amazing thing about people in the Bible is as they died, as they approached their death, they saw ahead something. And they saw, in Scripture, they saw that there was a reward waiting for them. Moses, Abraham, the Apostle Paul, as they approached death, and they, with the eyes of faith, they saw beyond death into heaven. They saw that when they get to heaven, there would be a reward. Moses, this is what we read in Hebrews 11, verse 26. When Moses died, he was looking ahead. We have Hebrews 11, 26. Moses was looking ahead to his reward. He was expecting to see a reward. He was looking ahead. As he was approaching death, as he was about to die, his eyes kind of went beyond death into heaven, and he saw that there was a reward waiting for him. God had a reward for Moses. One day, you and I are going to die. One day, you and I are going to stand before God himself. And again and again and again, Scripture encourages us and reassures us that when we do that as believers, as those that trust in him, as those that love Jesus, as we stand before him, he will give us a reward. Now, one thing's clear, that reward is not our salvation, that reward is not our place in heaven. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says very clearly, by grace, by God's kindness, you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. Salvation is nothing to do with you. It's actually a gift of God. It's not a reward. We don't get to go to heaven because of our goodness in ourselves. So what is God going to give us? We get into heaven by God's grace. What is our reward going to be? Well, Job, that amazing guy that suffered so much, says this in Job 22, verse 25. He said this, "The Almighty himself will be your treasure." Our reward is our relationship with Jesus. Our reward is meeting him face to face. Our reward is being close to Jesus. Our reward is enjoying him. The psalmist says this in Psalm 16, verse 5. "Lord, you alone are my portion." That's what you're going to get. That's the portion you're going to get. The portion. It's tea time. They're dividing up the cake. Here's your portion. It's what you're going to get. What you're going to get is God himself. Is knowing him, experiencing him, being close to him, loving him, feeling and knowing his warmth and his love. In fact, in Matthew 25, verse 21, where Jesus describes those, as we enter heaven, those who serve God and love God, he says this, Jesus said, this is how you're going to be greeted. This is how you're going to be greeted in heaven. Come and share your master's happiness. Isn't that amazing? That the happiness God has in himself, the completeness, the fullness, the joy, well, we can share in that. We can experience that. We can partake of that. We can know something of that ourselves. What a reward. There can be no greater reward than seeing God face to face and sharing God's happiness. Do you know, this morning I feel that some of us here are afraid of dying. Some of us here are afraid of death. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, I'd rather die and go and be with Jesus, because that's going to be far better. But because I know God's got work for me to do here, I'm getting on, I'm loving my life, I'm doing what God's called me to do, I'm serving you here. But Paul actually was said, it's going to be better. And I really feel for just some of us today, it's really important in our hearts we settle this matter, that dying is a good thing. To be with Jesus is better by far. But for today and tomorrow, and God willing, the next day, and the next 10 years, there's work that God has for you to do here on this earth. And when that work's finished, Jesus will come and take you to be with him. It's a lovely bit in the Gospel of John, where Jesus said, I'm going to come back for you, and I'm going to take you to be with me, because I've prepared a place for you. Wonderful picture of heaven, that there's Jesus preparing a place just for you, just the right place for you, that you'll really enjoy. And that one day Jesus will come back and take you to that place that he's prepared. And so in our hearts now, we can settle this thing. Actually, I love life. I love every day serving God, doing what God's got for us to do. But should this be my last day? Should this be your last day? There's no fear. There's no worry. There's no anxiety about what's going to happen. So before I became a Christian, I remember being about 14, 15. I remember very clearly lying on my bed at night, about 14, 15. I wasn't a Christian, thinking life is great, fun, but when I die, it's empty, it's the end, there's nothing. And I was really scared because it seemed so pointless. Life seemed so pointless. If this is it seems so pointless. Now, as believers, it's totally different. As followers of Jesus, we can look with confidence at the future. God, whatever you've got for me today and tomorrow and the next day, God, I'm looking forward to what you've got to me, because I know when I've done the work you've got to me, you're going to come, Jesus, and you're going to take me to be with heaven for you forever. This lovely phrase, New Testament, it says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. The moment you die, you close your eyes, you don't taste death. Jesus has tasted death for you. You do not taste death. The moment you close your eyes, you're absent from your body. You are present with the Lord. The body you're living in is decaying. But some bad news? Bad news. Some of us are decaying faster than others. But we're decaying. But inwardly, you are not your body. You live in your body. God's given us spirit, soul, and body. Amen. But actually, this tent, Paul talks about this being a tent. And that one day this tent will be shed, and that we're going to get a new resurrection body. And it's all going to be... So there's something very important for us to grasp this morning about the future. I think the fear of the future has a lot to do with the fear of dying. I want to encourage you today to settle this matter in your heart. If it's something that's there, bring it before the Lord and say, God, would you come in your grace? God, would you come in your mercy? Would you help me today? Because this is something that I struggle with. That God in his mercy would come, and that God would give you that sense of do not be afraid, because he is going to be your very great reward. To finish this morning, our story of Abraham in Genesis 15, it finishes in a very human way. Now, Abraham, this great man of faith, you'd have thought after God had come to him personally, come and woke him up in the middle of the night, or maybe he was just tossing and turning, maybe he wasn't asleep anyway, but God came to him and said, don't be afraid, Abraham, speaking to him. I am your shield. Amazing promise. I'm your shield. I'm your reward. You'd have thought Abraham would have got out of his bed and gone, wow, God, that is awesome. God, that is amazing. Thank you so much. Do you know what he did? He got out of bed and said, but God... His response and thought was a very human response, because there was something on his mind. God, it's okay promising me these great things, but God, do you not realize that I'm getting older and I've not got a son? You see, for him, there was a very pressing need, very human need. In their culture at that time, it was a massive, massive deal not having a son. Hard for us to understand, but in their culture, it was all about the legacy you leave behind. It was all about your lineage. It was all about the whole thing carrying on. It was a massive, massive thing. And so what Abraham says is, rather than Abraham saying, God, that is fantastic, in a very human way, and in the way that I often respond when God shows me something, say, great God, but what about this? What about this? What about these pressing issues? God, do you see these difficulties in my life? Do you see the things that are hard to deal with? Do you see these things? Abraham brought his real problems to God, and his response is but. Abraham's so much like us. We're in good company. We're in good company today. However we respond to God, God is there, and God wants us to know that he cares about the things on our mind. Look how God responded to Abraham's but. This is what he says in Genesis 15, verse 5. God said, go outside, look up. And then he said this to him. He took him, Abraham, outside and said, look at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then God said to him, so shall your offspring be. God said, look, I promised you these things, but I want you to know that I'm concerned about the things on your mind. I'm concerned about the things that are important to you. God doesn't get cross with him. God doesn't take issue with him. God just meets his immediate real concerns in his life right now, which was, God, what are you going to do about my baby? And so God comes to him and promises, I know that, I'm going to sort that, I'm going to do that. And that's a real encouragement for us today, in that whatever is your pressing issue, all of us have pressing issues. All of us have pressing issues. There's something which is pressing in our life. God knows, God cares, and as we bring it to him, God will speak to us, reassure us, give us hope, give us his answer to those things. What an amazing God. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we welcome you working in this place this morning. Work in our hearts. Would you come in your power and your presence amongst us today? Jesus, thank you. As I was praying for this morning, I feel just God reminded me, when I was younger, I was absolutely petrified of the dentist. If I had a dental appointment coming up, then for about 3 or 4 days before that, my stomach was churning round and round. I couldn't eat. I was sweating. I was worried. I was beside myself about that dentist appointment. And I really, really was gripped. It was almost a spirit of fear. It seemed to just grip me whenever I had a dental appointment coming up. And God, in his mercy, has delivered me from that fear. So now I can go and look the dentist in the eye, shake his hand, do your worst. You know, God wants to free us from our fears, deliver us from our fears. Come, Holy Spirit of God, this morning. Some of us are afraid of failing. If I fail, then what will my friends say? If I fail, what will my family say? If I fail, what will other people say about me? Jesus, help us. Some of us are afraid of being on our own, that others would abandon us, reject us, laugh at us, leave us on our own, that a relationship would break, that friends would desert us. Some of us are afraid of that abandonment. And God in his mercy is coming today by the Holy Spirit with his reassurance and his love and his freeing word. Do not be afraid. Some of us are afraid that we've got to perform. We've got to kind of do enough in our jobs or our marriage or our friendships or enough around our friends that to make us good enough. And it feels like we're just trying all the time and feels like we're going to fail. And God comes and says, do not be afraid. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just as we're quiet before God, imagine Abraham's lying on his bed, and then God's words came and spoke into his heart. Wow. Let's just us here this morning as we're sat here, just open our hearts and allow God's warmth, his love, allow him to speak, the Holy Spirit to speak. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This morning God wants to say to us, I've brought you this far and I'm not going to abandon you. Feel reassurance from God in heaven. He's saying to each one of us that he has brought us on a journey and we've got this far, and he's not now going to walk away, abandon us, reject us, turn his back upon us, because he is our shield to protect us. And here's our great reward. Thank you, Lord. Now, Abraham had this thing on his mind. Abraham had this pressing issue about not having a son. It weighed so heavy upon his mind. What's the thing that's weighing heavy on your mind this morning? What's the thing that it would be great if, God, if only. Bring that before the Lord this morning. Be honest with Him. Pour out your heart before Him today. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand together. Let's sing. Let's welcome God's work amongst us.
I just, it's been so lovely what Paul shared this morning. And just in the prayer meeting this morning, I had this thing about making up our minds and this whole thing of, you know, to make up your mind. And then Sandra said about that lovely song about, you know, I've got my mind made up. And then we came in, we sang it. I just feel God's, you know, there's a sense in which what Paul's brought to us this morning, there is a sense in which God's saying, I believe, you know, it's time to make up your mind. Are you going to trust me? Are you really going to trust me? These things that are burdening us and things that are bothering us and even just life, you know, our lives belong to Him. He's paid a huge price for them. Will we trust Him for our lives, for our fruitfulness? So I just feel there's a, you know, God saying, will you make up your mind today? Amen.
Just felt that that God had a specific reassurance for a mother, the story came to mind of the, there's an old nursery rhyme, there was an old woman who lived in a shoe. She had so many children she didn't know what to do, and we don't tend to have so many kids these days, but the worry of feeding children and providing for them can be a very real one. But God has said, I will provide. His name is, you know, Jehovah Yireh. The Lord will provide. And I feel for particularly mothers who are concerned, have worries about the future, worries about money, worries about schooling, worries about provision, that God is just wanting in His kindness to reassure you, He will provide.
Let's worship.
So before we launch into our time of worship, I'm going to get Joseph to share a scripture with us. And it's Psalm 100, verse 4. Joseph.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name.
So before we start our time of worship, it's good for us to just search our hearts and know why we're going into the Lord's presence to give Him glory. So let me just say a prayer before we start. Thank you, Lord, that we are here before You as Your people to give You glory and honor and praise. Mm-hmm. Father, we just pray that You help us to open our hearts before You today, Lord. Mm. In the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Mm. Amen.
Amen.
So if you could all please stand. And Mercy's going to lead us in worship with Revelation song, I think. It's the first one.
Yes.
Mercy?
Yes. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says that eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor has He ever come into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. God wants to bless us today. He wants to love us. And all He's asking us in return is to love Him back. So as we sing these songs, let's just think about the words and just pray to Him and just speak words of love to Him.
Verse 2 that says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And wherever we're at this morning, if we can just be reassured that the Lord is our foundation, we stand firmly on him and we shall not be moved. We're going to take the offering now, and we've got this little red bucket down here. And as we go into the next worship song, if you want to contribute something, anything, pennies even, we'll be all gratefully received. Mercy, what's the next song?
Caribbean Medley.
It's the Caribbean Medley, so you all have to get on your feet for this one. Woo! To shake your feet. If you'd like to turn round to the person behind you and say hello, greet them warmly, welcome, how are you, nice to see you. Young men, middle-aged men, and more mature men, this announcement is for you. Men's bowling is happening tomorrow evening. We're planning to meet for something to eat first at 7 o'clock at Nando's, and then at 8 o'clock, men's bowling will start at 8 o'clock at Hollywood Bowl. Now, if you haven't spoken to me about it already, grab me afterwards. I've got some invites here with the address and everything. It's £7.50. And it would be great if you could make it.
Thank you very much, David. Michelle, come and tell us about the verse. What is the verse of the month, Michelle?
Ephesians 1 verse 1. To the faithful in Ephesus, the saints in Ephesus, in fact, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Yeah. So why did the guy put it in the book? Well, he put this verse in the book because he wants us to know who we are in Christ. We are saved and we are sanctified. We're made holy. So we become saints because of the work of Jesus on the cross. So when God looks at us, he doesn't see all the terrible things that we do and think and are often. He looks and he sees pure white. He sees forgiven and saved people. So it should say to the saints in new life, because we are saints if we're born again. Jesus has done it all for us on the cross. Thanks.
Fantastic. Now, on the way in today, I noticed that there was lots of smiles. And I think it's because the sun is here. And when the sun is here, when the sun comes, you think of summer. And I know a lot of you are thinking of camping. Because, yes, no, seriously. Thinking of getting beneath those stars, enjoying the lovely fresh air. Joe, come and tell us about the camping trip.
We have unprecedented numbers pleading to be inside this year and not out in the tents. So fortunately, Charity would have altered the building a little bit, so there's more space for people inside. Just to say, we're praying for Charity Wood. Nick quoted at the prayer meeting on Tuesday a quote from John Wesley which said, "Nothing happens but through prayer," which is a very challenging statement. And we want to pray for this camp. We're already praying for it. We want to go on praying for it. But this is a Wednesday, May 31st. There's no prayer meetings that day. But we're just asking people in their prayer time to pray for Charity Wood, the families, the children, the people who are sponsoring children and teenagers, to pray on that day. We had a wonderful meeting this week with the guys at St. Luke's, because some of them are coming. So the four churches in Kentish Town that are working together, they're all coming on this camp. That's a first. And very exciting, and some of the leaders. So please do pray. I've got my orange Charity Wood file. If you've got any money left to give me, or forms or anything like that, or want to discuss sleeping arrangements, Paul will be glad to know we've got a tent specially booked for him out in the woods. And we're so thrilled that he's coming on the camp this year. Brilliant.
Fantastic. Very quickly, it's an ECOS Sunday. We've been rushing around. They've changed the room at the last minute, but it's happening. It's going to be in the dance room. Do you remember that? Very nice room, but instead of going straight out, you have to go round. We've got record numbers, four people on the waiting list, so we're going to have a lot of people there today, and we're going to have a fantastic time. Joe was those of you that are going out with Joe to Flame, a preview of the story. She's going to be doing a story called The Ethiopian Eunuch. And this gentleman had a one-to-one meeting, an ecos he had with Philip. Philip just, the guy was in his chariot, and Philip went up and had a little conversation with him. And the guy asked him whether he could explain something, and Philip did. He became a Christian, and he went back to Ethiopia. And the Ethiopian church today, which is absolutely massive, was founded from the life of that one man. And that's the power of a one-to-one conversation. So anyone who hasn't done ECOS before and would just like to have a go, just sit and chat and be friendly, then do come out, and I'll find someone for you to sit with, someone who's done it before to sit with you, and I know that you'll enjoy the experience. Vicky.
Some of you may remember, some of the ladies might remember that last year, sort of spring and summer, I started doing something called Make, Do and Mend, which was a sort of crafty afternoon with sewing and knitting and crochet. Really sorry, guys, it's only for ladies. But the men are going bowling. So, what we'd like to do is we'd like to open it up this year to ECOS people, some of the ladies in ECOS. So it's kind of linked with Nick's ECOS group as well. And there are a couple of people that we think might like to come. So what we'd like is some people from church to come, if possible. It's going to be great. We're going to have a lovely time. Because even if you don't make anything, and even if you don't have a project to do, and even if you've got nothing to mend, we're going to have lovely cakes and tea. So, because Barbara's coming. So do come and have tea and cakes if you've got nothing to make, do and mend, okay? Oh, sorry, it's 17th of June from 2 to 5. 17th of June, okay, in the afternoon.
Fantastic. Not this weekend, but the weekend after. That's the weekend 3rd, 4th. It's the Fleet Festival. Louise is going to come and tell us about some feedback from previous Fleet Festival. Louise.
Sorry, I'll be quick. Yesterday, our children go to music on a Saturday morning, and the woman who partly runs it goes to St. Luke's. So everywhere, all over the tables, there were lots of Fleet Festival little things. And one of the other mums who we know who goes take her kids to go to music was saying she thinks it's the most wonderful thing that all the churches get together and run this huge community project. And she was saying, what's up for this year? I'm going to look through. What are you doing? What can we do? So I just want to encourage you that people really do feel that it's something really, really worthwhile to do.
Fantastic. So next Saturday, this Saturday coming, which is the 28th, we're going to be advertising Fleet Festival outside Kentish Town Tube Station. So that's going to be 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. If you'd like to come, we'll be handing out cakes to people passing by and to sweeten them up. And then we'll be giving leaflets. We'll be passing those leaflets around amongst you. Those leaflets are advertising the festival, which runs the Saturday and the Sunday, the 3rd and the 4th. So next Saturday, 11 o'clock outside Kentish Town Tube Station, if you'd like to come and help for 1 hour, we'll be handing out leaflets advertising the Fleet Festival. The festival itself is the weekend after, is the 3rd and the 4th. On Saturday the 3rd, there'll be loads of activities running the whole day. We're doing some of those. There's about 20, 25 activities. Different churches doing different activities. The activities we're doing ECOS, English Conversation, on Saturday at Oaxaca's, which is the Mexican food place, which is a brilliant place above Kentish Town Tube Station. See Nick if you'd like to be involved in that. And then in the library by Kentish Town Tube Station, there's a library, Kentish Town Library. We're running kids' crafts all day. If your family bring your children along, they'd love to do the crafts. If you'd like to come and help with all the visitors that will come, that's brilliant. And also, Bob and Vicky are going to be doing free family portraits. Many, many people come, and Bob and Vicky are gifted and trained. They've even been on a course how to do it. They're professional. They take photos, and we just give them. We don't charge anything for them. And it really blesses people. It's an opportunity for us to engage with the community. If you want to just come and talk to people, what I really enjoy about Fleet Festival is you can do the hosting bit, which is just there talking to people that come about all the events, about the churches. And people are amazed that the church is not locked up inside some cold stone building, but we're out there in Kentish Town on the street just saying how good God is. So that Sunday, the 4th, we're not meeting here. Next Sunday we're here, but Sunday the 4th, don't come here or you'll be on your own, okay? On Sunday the 4th, we're going to be at St. Luke's. Which is not far from me, just a short journey from here. There's a map in the newsletter. If you didn't get a newsletter, they're over on the information point. But so here, we're here next week, the 28th, 29th, but we're not here the 4th, the Sunday the 4th of June. We're not meeting here for one Sunday. We'll be at St. Luke's with Revelation Church and with St. Luke's and with Chalk Farm Baptist Church. So there's going to be a church service, same time, 10:30. Then there's a free barbecue. And after that, there's an evangelistic event at 2 o'clock in the place. So it's going to be a great weekend. We're looking forward to it. Thanks for being so patient with all these notices. The children, the young people, now you're going to make a move. So babies, children, young people, now's your time to head through the door.